So let's officially call a meeting to order. Just do a quick roll call here if we can. If you can say aye when I read your name, that would be great. Since this is going to be audio recorded for the future. So Andy Bueller.
I think I'm muted. I'm here.
Okay, great, great. Terry Jacobson?
Here.
Joellen Storrs?
I'm here.
Chairman O'Day? Chairman O'Day, are you still with us? Steve Bostrom?
I'm here.
Lieutenant Staples?
I'm here as well, and I think O'Day's trying to talk, but he keeps going into mute, so. There we go. I'm back on mute. So.
Scott Schutze. Okay. I'll take the bark is here. And then we've got our support staff. We've got Peggy, Mike Bastianelli, and Sean Smith. As usual, supporting the meeting and taking notes, answering any questions. So, Rob, Mary, were you able to join?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, good to see you. We have to comment about the shirt, though. I don't think that's appropriate attire. So
I wore it on purpose.
Okay. Well, welcome. Good to see you.
Thanks.
So I think with the roll call complete, we have any citizens' comments? Will no one else connected to the meeting via as a attendee?
Nope.
Okay, very good. So we have the next order of business on the agenda was the approval of minutes from December 2nd, 2019. Peggy sent out information as far as what the minutes contained. And I think there was an audio file that could be referenced for any of the details. Did everyone who is interested have a chance to take a look at that? And if so, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Terry. Second?
This is Horace, I'll second.
Thank you, Horace. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any opposed? Okay, very good. So moved. Thank you. So seeing all that heavy work is done, I'll turn it over to Scott to take us through some of the details. And I think he was on the agenda is some of the land information program compliance activities that we do for the various years. So, Scott, if I know you've got a PowerPoint, if you can take over and share your screen at this point.
Marty, I think that we're having a problem with Scott's audio, it seems like, because I believe that he's been talking, but we're not hearing him, even though he's not muted.
Okay.
We're working on getting that working for him.
Okay. So, John, if technology was easy, anybody could do it, you know? It takes a number of experts here to...
Honestly, I think we've had more problems with Teams than I have with any of the other platforms. I've got this meeting where we've done Skype and Teams with the state. We've done Zoom ones with WCA. And honestly, the team ones is the ones we've had the most problems with. And it's normally like an audio thing. Some people said it has something to do with the VPN. Did we have any other things on the agenda that Scott isn't presenting? He's normally our big presenter.
No, the two things were the program compliance updates and then the imagery update. So.
We could do an off-script discussion of what we talked about at our last call meeting.
Was it exciting?
Well, part of it was geared towards working up the scheduling program that Mike and Jonathan have been working on for our offices.
Oh, yes.
County admin building. So yes. That was kind of interesting. So trying to get that scheduling program worked out. I think it's kind of cool so far. In theory, it looks really neat.
Right.
We got that environment back up and running again too, Terry. So
awesome.
It can work when you guys click on it.
Cool.
Maybe you guys can just give a quick update what specifically you're referring to for those who are not aware.
Oh, as we're making plans to open the various county buildings up more, we were trying to come up with a way to schedule some services that are offered, like marriage licenses and passports and vital records requests and things like that.
Okay. So people can actually set up an appointment, say, I'm going to come in at 3:15 and pick up this, and, you know, is that agreeable to you? You can make a determination if it's a good time or not, or if a lot of other people anticipated in the area at the same time.
We had asked for an online application that people could go to our website and sign up. And it's really what Mike has got for us, I think, is really nice. Based on the service being requested, it'll block out an amount of time. It also will determine how many people we're going to allow in the office. Like for the Register of Deeds, I'm only going to let one person come in at a time to apply for a vital record. And I want it to be by appointment only. And the reason I asked for this is, you know, we can have nobody in the office all day. And then at 2 o'clock, five people come in for this to apply for a vital record. So there's plenty of time throughout the week for people to come in if we can just manage the flow of the people coming in, that they're not all coming in at the same time. And we also want to have an opportunity to talk to them ahead of time before they come in and ask them not to bring the whole family with, when one person is all they need to come in, or, you know, if that one person needs assistance and there's whoever they need to help assist them. To keep the flow down, our lobby in the lower level of the admin building is very small, and we share it with the land information office. So that was a big concern, that we wanted to manage that traffic in and out of the area.
That's great.
I think another cool thing about the app is that it allows us to tell them in advance all the documents they need for whatever service they're requesting. So Mike found one where, like, Reggie can preload in there, you know, what they need to bring with them for the marriage license, so that they don't make this appointment and then not have half the things that they need to get the service done, which happens all the time.
So I know that this kind of Joellen sent the request over and we started working on it. And is Reggie on board with this and excited about it as well?
Yeah, okay. She is. I mean, she already has appointments for marriage licenses. They have to make an appointment, but and she recently instituted passport appointments as well. But it makes it simpler for people if they can do it themselves online. And of course, we would have access to that calendar too, in case somebody doesn't, you know, not everybody is good with doing things online. They can call the office and we can try and find when's a good time for them to come in too. So it's pretty flexible. I mean, hopefully it'll work as well as Mike presented it to work.
Yeah, the neat thing with this product that we found was it's service driven. So we could expand this out to other areas of the county too. And as you look at the service that you want and you start going through the wizard to pick your appointment and stuff, it will tell you, you know, all right, this service for marriage certificates, that's the county clerk's office that you need to go to. It's located here, and et cetera. But there's no reason why we couldn't add, you know, here's appointments that the sheriff's department wants to do, or here's appointments that human services wants to do, and here's where you would go to schedule a time to talk to so-and-so on that stuff too. So it looks like it's something that we could expand out into the future as well.
Right. So we can use this at treasurer's counter or at KCC as well, right?
We could. I think we're not going to do it for tax payments, just because that's impossible. Nobody's gonna schedule an appointment to hand over all their money. It's just not going to happen. But for some of the other services that we offer, like the parking permits for the parking ramp or dog park licenses, those sorts of things where they need to bring in information with them in order to get the product, we can make use of that to try to thin out the lobby a little bit. Especially during peak times. And people like to come in when we're, you know, the end of July to do crazy things when they probably could have done it any other time of the year and when there are not other people in the lobby. So trying to manage that. So Reggie and I have been working together since we kind of share the same lobby, and figuring that sort of stuff out. And same thing out at KCC, working out that, like, Joe, Ellen, and Reggie don't plan to allow people to schedule in marriage licenses and vital record requests those last 2 weeks in July out at KCC. They can still come downtown to do it, but KCC is where most of the walk-in tax payments come. So that way we're not clogging up the lobby with those people on top of the tax payments that are coming due.
Okay. Marty, can you hear me?
There we go.
Yes.
Okay. I apologize, technical difficulties. So I am joined on via audio on the telephone, and I should be able to present my desktop. So I will go ahead and share my screen right now. And are you able to see?
Yes, yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So, were we on number, on compliance status, Marty, on number four?
Yes, yes, we are.
All right. Okay, our compliance status for the Wisconsin Land Information Program. We have a number of annual tasks that take place throughout each year. Up on the screen before you is the four major tasks that take place. The 2020 grant agreement was signed and sent up to the state of Wisconsin Department of Administration in April. That particular agreement was for the grant that this council approved in December. We'll talk a little bit more about that grant in more detail a little bit later during this meeting. The second item was the version 6 parcel submittal. Part of the grant program is for all 72 counties to submit parcel level data up to the state of Wisconsin, where they congregate it into a common database. That information is then served out in an application, and it is able to be downloaded by the general public off of a state DOA website. We completed that submittal in April. It was actually due at the end of March, but because of the COVID work from home situation, it took us a little bit longer than normal, but we got it in within about 3 weeks of our deadline. The next activity, which is in progress right now, is our expenditure activity report. Every year, each county has to submit this activity report. It basically outlines all the land information related activities that the counties undertake throughout the course of the previous year. So that report is being done for January 1st, 2019 through December 31st of 2019. I just did the first draft of that report and I sent it along to our finance department, and they're going to plug in some of the numbers for us as they do every year. That particular report is due at the end of June, and I anticipate no problem in getting that done by that time. The last activity for the year will be the 2021 grant application. That is due on December 30th, and we, in fact, will not get the materials until probably October 1st. That's a real important step for this land council, as the land council will need to approve any project activities at our next meeting. And I would anticipate that we will have another land council meeting in either November or very early December. So that will be our last activity for the year. And then this cycle starts all over again. Any questions before we move on? Okay. Just to provide a very high level status of where we are on all our grants, I'm going back in this slide back to our 2016 grant. Normally I wouldn't want to go back that far, but 2016 and the 2017 grants were very tightly intertwined. They essentially went for the same project. And for that reason, I'm going to go back to 2016 quickly. As you'll notice, we've got 2016, 2018, and 2019 are completed. 2017, we still have open for some various reasons that I'll describe here in a few moments. And then we are currently in progress with our 2020 grant, and that one doesn't have to wrap up until December of 2021. So we'll go into each project year. and here's the 2016 grant. And this grant was for the horizontal mapping datum conversion from NED 27 to NED 83. It was a $50,000 grant. We really leaned hard on Rob Mary and the Regional Planning Commission to help guide us through this particular project. It was very technical in nature. The Regional Planning Commission did a wonderful job in guiding us through that, as they did for many of the other counties here in the Southeast region. That project was completed a couple years back already for the horizontal data. All the funds have been received from that particular grant, and the grant has now been closed.
Scott, just a question. Did the city ever move forward with the conversion?
That's a great question, Marty. I haven't heard anything on that recently. There was some resistance to do so, particularly out of their Public Works Department. I don't know the answer to that question yet.
Okay. I think that we gave them some suggestions on possibility of things to pursue and grants and those type of things to help as well. Terry has a question or comment?
Comment more than question, I would say. It's half and half. Scott, aren't they going to kind of be forced to go to this at some point or another since everybody's moving away from the old platform?
Yes, they will. And they were aware of that from the get-go. It's once we gave them notice, we were going ahead and we are going to do this. It becomes a situation where they're going to have to move at some point, and if they don't, they'll be forced to take any data that we share with them, and they'll have to transform it back to the old format. And quite frankly, there are very, very few governmental organizations that are using that format anymore, as Rob Mary could probably attest and tell us. So they will be doing so. It seemed like over at the city, there were certain departments that were somewhat reluctant to move ahead, while others were excited to move ahead. So I can't say with certainty that everyone has moved over, but okay. Strides have been made.
Okay. The net impact to the county is nil, right? So we provide them the data in our current format, and it's up to them to do any conversion.
Correct. At this point, yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
The 2017 grant was also for $50,000. And like I mentioned earlier, it was very strongly intertwined with the 2016 grant. It essentially took the mapping datum and it modernized the vertical portions of the mapping datum. And that work was undertaken also by SewerPAC. Under the guidance of Rob Mary, and that was completed early last year, I believe, and we have closed out that portion of the 2017 grant. Before I move on to the remainder funds portion, Rob Mary, do you have anything you would like to add regarding the datum conversion projects?
I guess a couple. I mean, it's obviously has been a challenge. So that the conversion for all seven, you know, has been successful. Just a lot of that was a project that now looking back on, very proud of. But you know, there were many challenges that were unexpected, and the you know, but in the end, it turned out quite well. Data sheets are available, you know, as far as at the through the state cartographer's office. You know, as far as accessing information related to that dual coordinates for both 27 and 29 and 83-2011 and NAVD 88 for each corner. I will say because of COVID, you know, we're going to be totally overhauling our server, you know, and how they warehouse each corner sheet. So coming up in the next month or so, our hopes are we're going to migrate instead of being a flat file that you see just as a PDF before a dossier, it's actually going to be stored in a database. So there's going to be a little bit more attributed, you know, information that will be associated with each corner and corner record to have a better understanding of how long that corner has been, that corner certificate's been established, and maybe we need to go back because of information that, you know, because of time that has passed. So we can kind of smartly look at each corner and its relationships. So that's, you know, kind of moving in a very positive direction. We're internally looking or using it. The issue right now is our IP range doesn't support. We don't have an additional IP to serve it out externally at this point in time, but that should be taken care of coming up in the next few weeks, so that we can announce and promote our new system, you know, for serving corners throughout not only Kenosha County, but throughout the region.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Yep. The when we started that project, SERPEC made a SERPEC and ourselves made a guesstimate on how much effort and how much funds that would take for that particular project. And while we thought it was going to utilize the entire $50,000 grant, it did not. So what ended up happening was when we finished up the modernization of the vertical, we had remainder funds of $26,000. So what we did at that point was we asked the state for a extension on the grant, and then we spoke to this council back in very early December, and we presented to you some project ideas on how to use those funds, which was a $26,097. And this council approved the use of those funds towards GIS environment enhancement, specifically for infrastructure evaluation, for a dev environment setup, as well as possible cloud implementation. We have now engaged with a vendor to do so, and we are expecting to complete that process by the end of June, which is the date at which the state has said we must spend those remainder funds. Mike Bascinelli, do you care to provide any details about that vendor engagement?
Yeah, so we engaged GIS Inc., which is the vendor we're using. They have a lot of experience working in the GIS arena. So we used them to take a look at our environment, give us a number of recommendations based on what they've seen in other organizations, and give us some ideas of where we could see better business continuity, better disaster recovery options, and potentially some performance improvements as well. So we have finished the evaluation period. We have a direction of making a few changes in our environment, which we're working with them on performing. And as Scott said, we should have that wrapped up by the end of June.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. So 2017 is really been stretched out because of the nature of the projects we've worked on, and we've asked for some of the extensions from the state, and they've been very willing to work with us, and they've been very flexible, and we certainly appreciate their flexibility. We're almost at the end. We're essentially 90 to 95% of the way through, and we'll finish that up very soon. Okay, our 2018 grant, and you'll notice for 2018 and 2019, we've started these grants and we've completed them already ahead of the 2017. So for 2018, we received another $50,000 grant from the state. That was utilized towards the Esri parcel fabric conversion project, and that was essentially taking our cadastral mapping and putting it in a format that created stronger relationships between the different layers of information. This would allow us to realize better efficiencies in terms of editing data. That project has been completed. It was completed within 12 months of the project inception. All funds have been received and the grant has now been closed. In 2019, we received yet an additional $50,000 grant. That particular grant was used towards the development of our delinquent tax application. That was written in-house by IT, and it is in use now. Very strongly in the treasurer's office, and many other departments have small uses for that application also, including myself. That project was completed in December of 2019, and all funds have been received, and the grant is now closed. And that leaves us with our 2020 grant, which you will notice is for a lesser amount, and it's a lesser amount for all counties across the state. All the grants went down from the $50,000 level down to the $40,000 level, so we didn't do anything wrong here. The state just stated, based on how real estate recordings were happening across the state and the amount of monies they were taking in, that it was they could only distribute $40,000 to each county in this case. Our county is in a very enviable position amongst all the counties across the state, or most of them. We have a lot of our core foundational elements completed here in Kenosha County. So we have more leeway than most counties on how to use our funds. And we've been using them very diligently on various land records related projects, as you can see. And when we came to this grant, we were faced with not having a lot of very pressing needs at that moment. And so we did some brainstorming and we came up with how can mapping benefit other departments. And we talked about how Public Works could benefit, and we proposed a project to utilize the funds specifically for the Public Works Department and accomplishing some mapping initiatives to benefit them specifically. There are some potential application ideas out there, such as snow plowing management, pavement management, and asset inventories and so forth. We have engaged with Public Works on some preliminary discussions on these projects. They are focusing especially on the asset inventories. So if they need to create mapping inventories of, say, guardrails, of street signs, of signalization, Those are the types of inventories they would really like to capture geographically. And now that we've had some of these preliminary discussions with them, we're going to bring in that same consultant we've been working with on our GIS infrastructure. They are GIS Inc. And we are going to connect GIS Inc. with Public Works and discuss creating some of these mapping applications for Public Works. That was scheduled to take place in right around April, but COVID work from home, that was placed on the back burner for a bit. We are going to get back into that here very soon. We will be scheduling that in the next few months. We have, by the guidelines of the grant, we have until December of 2021 to utilize those funds. So we still have quite a bit of time, but we also want to be sensitive and just keep the project going. So it's something we will get back to here very quickly.
Scott, do you foresee any problem achieving that date, or secondarily, you know, would you maybe envision that there could be some extension due to a situation that everyone is in?
I do not. You know, December of 2021 is still a year and a half away, and all of our discussions with GIS Inc. Have indicated that they're ready and willing to hit the ground running, and I wouldn't be surprised if we still finish up even earlier than December of 2021 without issue. So I don't anticipate any problems meeting that deadline.
Okay, thanks.
And that's our most current grant. Like I mentioned earlier, we will have the 2021 grant that will need to be vetted by this land council. You know, any project ideas are welcome. So the CALM group here at the county will begin discussing those in October and make a recommendation to this committee. As well, if any land council members have any project ideas, feel free to touch base with myself, with Terry Jacobson, with Joellen Storrs, with anyone from IT. We're always willing to consider project ideas and want to be sure that the land information needs of the county are always well addressed. So, so that's the status of our projects to date. Any questions before we move on to the imagery project?
Seeing no hands.
Okay. The 2020 imagery acquisition project. As most of you know, this happens once every 5 years at the county. We last did it in 2015. We have a wonderful product that we've received from EagleView Incorporated, who is also known as Pictometry. They have created for us ortho images, which are essentially imagery that's rectified to be able to be used within our mapping system, our GIS, and we can measure off of it and so forth, as well as some products for oblique images. And those oblique images are images that are taken at roughly a 45 degree angle and allow us to view imagery and go around four sides of any point in the county. Like I mentioned, last captured in 2015. We did budget monies here in the 2020 budget. The project is costing us $146,000. A portion of that, $20,351, is a cost share from SewerPAC and other data partners. Those monies have been, are already being utilized in the project. And the initial flights took place on April 3rd through April 6th. And a few touch-up flights took place in very early May. The touch-up flights are for images that may have anomalies such as cloud cover or bad shadowing or just blurriness. But our flights are all complete at this point. We have some early access imagery available. That's available on the Pictometry online application, which is essentially a cloud-based application. It allows us to see right now some lower resolution imagery. I don't want to call it orthos because it's not. It's 1 meter imagery, and it's just roughly somewhat positional accurate at this point. The other type of imagery that's available on there is a lot of the oblique imagery is now available on there also. So what's happening right now is Pictometry is putting together the AccuPlus product, and the AccuPlus product is the ortho rectification of the images. And what that will do is that will take those images and it will create a finer resolution image, which will be our 4-inch resolution. And it will ortho rectify that. And that's a very labor intensive process. That is being done, or should be being done right now. The deliverables were originally scheduled for September of 2020. They've pushed that back a little bit to roughly October. They are experiencing some COVID-related delays due to, you know, having persons in the office and so forth. So the actual flights themselves, they went off without a hitch. And things went very well, but now that the processing of the data has taken place, there are going to be some, at least some small delays in this process. They are starting to do some of that processing from home, I am told, but it's not as quick as doing all that back in the office where they have more processing power. So we're still hopeful that by October we have those final deliverables available to us.
I have a comment from Terry.
I actually think, Scott, you answered it. My question was, is the delay primarily that they don't have the bandwidth at home to deal with those massive amounts of data? And how are they figuring out a workaround to do that? Because I know you're having the same problem in source planning and development with those really big data files that you guys work with for your mapping program are really hard to do off of a little laptop at home.
Right, right. It's partly the work from home aspect. And then the other major aspect of that is one of their home offices, they've got two home offices, one in Rochester, New York, and the other one is in Seattle. And Seattle, they shut down the offices for quite a while. I don't know if they're open back up yet. And so that has affected a lot of that processing, whereas it did not affect the actual flights themselves. So, yeah, those are the reasons for the possible delays.
Just a question. Certainly, you know, one of the options that Kenosha County has selected was to go ahead with the oblique imagery, and not everyone does that. And we talked pretty significantly as far as what the value was and how we predicted that data could be used. You know, is that still a good thing that we should be pursuing? And it costs us some additional funds, I think, to do the obliques beyond just the orthos. Any feedback from Sheriff's Department or Steve? I don't know if you've had any experience or exposure to the oblique imagery or not.
quite honestly, being so new to this whole thing, I really couldn't say whether I have or have not. I do use mapping system almost every single day. And I've long, and Andy can attest to this, I've long been a cheerleader as to how ours compares to other counties is, in my opinion, far superior. But to come up with an intelligent opinion, I don't have the information at this time to really chime in, I don't think.
Okay. I think the oblique gives you that, what is it, a 45 degree view around a property. So I know that for Sheriff's Department, for example, instead of just a top-down view, it was beneficial to be able to take a look at side exits or entrances and go around the property and get a different view than just the top down.
So. And that makes perfect sense. I think in applications for my industry, that's not necessarily the primary use. You're going to touch and feel the real estate when you go there. What I am primarily using this for is looking for developable opportunities as opposed to, existing vertical properties.
Okay. Thanks.
Marty, I would like to add, I've had a number of discussions with the assessors in the county very recently. And they are very concerned about the future of assessing with COVID as far as being able to have access to homes. They're afraid that really, walkthroughs are maybe tougher to come by in the future because of this. And they are really looking towards those oblique photos as a very valuable resource to them in order to evaluate what's on the ground. They are able to take measurements in some cases on the outsides of the buildings, and they view it as one of the few tools that they have at their fingertips.
Okay. I see comments or discussion from Terry as well as Andy. Andy, we'll get Terry first and then move to you.
Well, I think, first of all, I was going to say what Scott was about the assessors using it. And I'm sure Andy is going to pipe up about how planning and development uses it, so I'll leave that one by. But on our front, from the treasury perspective, we like to have the oblique much that planning would, in that it allows us to get more information on buildings before we proceed with taking them. So it's very useful for us from that standpoint. In the more rural areas, less so. But in the more populated areas where you have a lot of buildings and you want to see what you're dealing with, if that thing's, shifted all over the place and ready to fall down, or if it's potentially a viable building, you can get a lot from the oblique view that you can't from the pure overhead or from the little bit of information we have from the assessors in the building file.
Okay. Is that something that you've realized since that we've had that capability to do, or did you foresee that as a value when we were talking about it initially?
Oh, I think when we first started having the meetings that we were looking to get them, I just never thought we'd actually pay to get them. Okay. When it first came up, it was kind of like one of those dream video game kind of things that you're like, oh wow, that would be super cool if we could do that. And I think there are still some layers on top of it that they have demoed to us that are even more super cool than what we have already. But I was impressed we got that first step. So, I saw it coming, but okay. I wasn't sure we were actually going to do it.
Right. Andy?
Yeah, we really find this important. I mean, being able to view properties from all four angles helps with when we're working with issuing permits. I mean, we don't make a habit of going out to properties to inspect them when we do permits. That for us, this takes too much time to be able to do that. So we do rely on the orthophotography a lot, and then the obliques just enhance that ability, as well as enhancing the ability for violations when we work with those. And I mean, we would still advocate that we'd like to be able to do the in-between years, not every 5 years, and also have that be obliques. So yeah, we find it to be very valuable.
Okay. So, you know, I think this is very helpful as we go forward and as we propose future imaging projects, that we can say that, you know, the value is there. It's being used in many different ways, you know, still fully support those aspects of it. So, and there has been no crime since we implemented it. So that's, you know, that's another plus that we can always talk about. Andy?
I was just going to add also, Scott, maybe you can just touch on, because right now we're able to view kind of like the precursor of the final product, which we're already doing in our office. So that just kind of shows the importance.
Correct, correct. One of the benefits of working with pictometry is they're very fast at rolling out some initial products in their product suite. And like I said, we have these 1 meter resolution images, which should not be considered orthos, but it's a rough image that's somewhat positionally fixed. So that's available right now on the cloud-based app. If anyone needs a login to that app, I'm more than happy to share that with anyone on the council that feels they may need that. As well as we can see a lot of the initial oblique images, which are those 45-degree images that allow you to turn and see all four sides of any point throughout the county. So it's great that we have early access to that imagery, and it's already available. At least we have something to work with until the full set of deliverables is provided to us later this fall.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate the comments and the discussion.
And that's all I have, Marty, on status updates.
Okay. Well, very good. That takes us on the agenda to item number 6, which is any new business. I'll open it up for any discussion on new business that the committee would like to discuss. Terry?
Well, I think to carry on with our discussion from our last call meeting, I think that we've been working on a few issues, just ways that we can make some improvements to the website. Mike and I had a discussion at the call meeting about instituting a system where homeowners could sign up with an email address to get blasts to say, first of all, remind them about their installment options or applying for the lottery credit or anything like that. So we've had kind of a preliminary discussion on that and how we can set that up to get to push information out to people who sign up. I don't think it's a very manageable thing for us to manage a list. I mean, people's email addresses change at the drop of a dime. But if people want to sign up for it and are interested enough, I think it's another way for us to contact people with information that they're interested in and to remind them when there are updates out there in, you know, land information and land records. So we could potentially have calendars that would push out information and that people could sign up for those things that they're kind of interested in. And a way to, for example, if somebody pays their taxes, the number of phone calls we get to make sure that we got the payment from them or their mortgage company is kind of crazy. So if there was a way we could automate it where somebody would sign up to the calendar and then whenever a payment is applied to their property, they would get pushed an email saying a payment has applied, go to this link to see how much the payment was for. And then they could go and get a copy of their receipt or do whatever they want from there. It's kind of based on what Joellen does in her shop. We're trying to figure out, brainstorm a way that we can combine it with some of the ways that she has in her system. Whenever somebody touches one of their records, somebody gets an email notification to try to prevent fraud. Right, Joe?
Right. It's really so simple. I mean, they just have to sign up for it with, we do it by name and by parcel number. And of course, they have to give us their email address. We do not babysit this at all. It's a completely user responsibility. It works. I'm signed up for it, you know, and I've done some refinancing or something, and all of a sudden I'm getting emails from Kenosha County ROD telling me that something's happened. So it's good to see it works. It works very well. So it's, I was under the impression you were going to look at maybe doing something along those lines. It's pretty simple and you shouldn't have to babysit it. It's really something people can, you know, go to and sign up for. And we also had talked about possibly that I'd go with you at the end of the year for your treasurer's meeting and, you know, with your municipalities to see about including some of that in the literature they send out that people can sign up to be notified about activity on their property. So that'd be good if we could get that going.
Yeah, we're thinking it's something we could potentially talk to the municipal treasurers to include in the insert that they send out with their yearly tax mailing. So it's right there in their tax bill, they already have their parcel number, which helps them with the registration process and, right, and throwing it all together. So it's, we normally do, as IT knows, since they attend our fall meeting in October. So that's when we're kind of looking, assuming we're still gonna have an in-person fall meeting in October.
Good luck.
But so we made some really good strides there in the conversation. I think we've all been kind of figuring out how to do things in a little different manner. So it's been interesting. I will say that we got so many more phone calls at the actual office than I ever anticipated. And I think part of it is because our phone number is out there as a public office that's open, even if people can't physically go in. And so we get the most random phone calls normally, but this COVID thing has just put that like exponentially larger. Like the crazy phone calls we get asking for things that have nothing to do with the treasurer's office has just multiplied exponentially. Like it's like, you're a person I can talk to. How do I get help with this? And so we've gotten a lot more of that. So that has been interesting during this whole process. I'm sure Joe has too, but
yeah, phones are, well, but they have a lot of legitimate reasons too to call with us not being open. You know, they do want to know, how do I get around? Where are we going now? How's this going to work? I need this, you know, so we try and help people as much as we can.
Very good. Very good. Andy?
Yeah, so the couple of things I just wanted to let everyone know is that, I mean, there's some positives from this health issue on standpoint from our area is that a lot of development kind of just got put on hold. A lot of permitting kind of went down. And so that allowed our staff to focus on entering metadata to all the parcel files that we have. So if you think of all the parcel folders that exist and the documents in each one, there was probably about 40,000 documents that needed to have metadata added to, and our staff was going to tackle this as time permits. Now 13,000 of those documents were handed over to Salem Lakes when they became a village, so they have the fun task of doing it themselves if they ever do. But anyhow, with our staff with the remaining documents, so that would be about 24,000 documents, we were down to about 11,000, and then in these last 2 months, just because of the, like I said, some of the slowness with development, they've been able to knock off 3,000 documents from that. Now we're only about 7,000 away from completing the project. And what that means is that then all those documents will be available for people to view, just like they used to view when they came in our office and they said, hey, I want to see my parcel file, or I want to see a specific parcel file. They can look whatever was in there. Is all that information will be available online to the public. The other thing that has happened is obviously focusing people on e-permitting, which was we implemented last year, which did not take off very well. It was not used, but now people were forced to do that. So that's been another good aspect. And secondly, with that is that I just lost my train of thought on that. But in any case, the use of, or that information being available is just going to be there. And so that's just a benefit for the general public.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Steve?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to piggyback a little bit on what Andy was saying about COVID and it allowing his department to play some catch up. If all trends that I'm seeing in the real estate market right now unfold, you're going to be busy pretty darn soon. My own personal real estate practice, I have a regional home builder that has spec built a number of homes in Kenosha County. I currently have 15 houses listed for them, of which six are under contract. All six are under contract from people all moving up here from Illinois. And what we're seeing nationally trends-wise because of COVID, all of these hipster millennials that wanted to live in densely populated areas such as downtown Chicago or New York or San Francisco or Seattle have all decided that being in a densely populated area is not really a good thing anymore. And they're all looking to move to the suburbs. So hopefully that means there's a lot more work for all of us here in the very near future. And then in closing, I just wanted to say, I wanted to thank everybody for welcoming me onto this committee. It's been a very entertaining and educational first meeting, and I look forward to many more in the future. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. Glad you're here. Joellen, you had sent me something probably in the January, February timeframe as far as making some enhancement as far as information that is displayed, hopefully within the Calm group, that request is still active. I know that we had to put it to the side for a while, but don't lose sight of that. I think that was something that made some sense. And as we discussed it with Mike, it was something that was certainly doable. So
we did bring that up again at our Calm meeting. And if anybody wants to know what we're talking about, when you're looking at a parcel on our GIS map, in many counties now throughout Wisconsin, and I think Kenosha can implement this, you click on that parcel and you get a list of all the documents that are recorded against that, would that have that parcel number. And if you want to view a particular document, whether it's, you know, a correction instrument to a certified survey map or a, you know, warranty deed or, you know, or some kind of easement or well agreement, whatever type of document you're looking for, you could then click on that document that would come up and it would take you to Landshark where you could sign in and purchase a copy of that document, you know, without having to, you know, go back and forth or, you know, do some additional searching. So it's a very handy tool. And there's really no reason why we can't get that implemented here. To my knowledge, I mean, everybody else can do it. I know Kenosha can do it.
Okay. Sounds good. I think it's just a matter of time, right?
Yeah.
So, any other comments or discussion items at this point? Yeah, I did forget in my introductions that Will Strege is also on the line, and he's helping to facilitate things. So thank you, Will. Appreciate it. And if nothing else, a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Marty. Thanks, everyone.
Okay.